at times even forget to come and thank you for. You have more than proven that you are God with us, Emmanuel, as you have promised. And Father, for these few hours and minutes, we've come, Father, to remind ourselves of your word, as you have ordained that a man or us will speak to one another, but your spirit will interpret it. As we have prayed earlier today, please glorify yourself. Thank you for the songs. Thank you, Father, for the spirit who is already here. Father, please explain your word to us. Your word says faith comes by hearing, and hearing not by New York Times, not by what our situation says, but it's hearing by the word of God. Every weak area, Father, please let them be strengthened as your word goes forth. Let it be encouragement and healing and righteousness and grace and love in the house this morning. Bless each person here because you have loved us so much. Father, I pray, God, that Christ will appear to every person. I pray, Father, that be there any weak knees, any arm that is hanging loose, that they'll be raised up in Jesus' name. Lord, we're going to speak your word. Help us to speak it in your spirit. Help us to receive it in your spirit. Father, please do not hide the ancient mysteries from us. I pray every heart here will understand what you are trying to say. Your word in due season, your word for our generation, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. I pray that no man will return the same today. As we preach, as we hear, as we contribute, oh, sweet spirit, please do your thing, oh Lord. For you are greater than all that opposes us. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise. Let's give him praise, give him honor, give him adoration in Jesus' name. We had some fantastic testimonies of how we became born again last week. And it's proven that everybody has a testimony. Jesus has given everybody a testimony. Most of them times, and there are many kinds of testimonies. There are testimonies that are testimonies of how the Lord delivered you from one danger or the other. All of these are for the encouragement of the saints and of the brethren. But last week, we focused on the testimony on how we got saved. This is a testimony, kind of testimony that we don't hear often anymore. And it's important for us to tell one another how we overcame, how we got saved. The sweetest testimony is the testimony of salvation. That's the testimony that will never be taken away from you. If your testimony is that you got a promotion, one day that promotion will be taken. Do you know that? My joke in the Bible is from a Bible story that I read is, remember the story of the raising of Lazarus, right? It's one of the epic miracles in the Bible, the raising of Lazarus. And many souls came to Jesus. The fear of the Lord came upon the land. But my joke is, where is Lazarus today? He's right back where they raised him from. I mean, in the body, it went right. It just died quietly and nobody announced it. So that was a miracle for a time and a season that the work of the Lord may be established, like Jesus said. Right? The man with the people that the Lord fed with fishes and loaves, right? They were hungry again. So they came back for another fish and another loaf, right? So that miracle was for a time and a season. But the miracle on the Mount of Transfiguration, the words that Peter, James, and John heard, never was taken away from them. Even after the Lord ascended, they kept saying that we were with him. Peter said, we were with him on that holy mount, and we heard these things. Once Jesus, the greatest testimony from Jesus is him touching your heart. Poverty cannot take that from you. Death cannot take that from you. Life cannot. That used to be the biggest testimony. Pray to the Lord that you will have this testimony and you will share it. Once you meet Jesus, you can never remain the same again. I don't know if people prayed for Barack Obama to be president or not. I'm sure. I don't know. I'm looking for. I know Jimmy Carter was a president, U.S. president, who was also a Baptist, a Bible study teacher, right? Jimmy Carter is still alive today. So I could imagine when he was going into campaign, the whole of the Southern Baptist Convention would be praying that our son would become president. Well, he became president, and he became president no more. It's a brief testimony. Even becoming the president of America is not the testimony. The testimony is that Christ died for us, the chief of sinners. And we have been talking about being born again. Being born again. And I've been challenging everybody to make sure, please don't be comforted in the fact that you're a member of a living church. That is not the same as being born again. That is just an opportunity to be born again. When Jesus touches you, you will have a personal testimony of how Jesus touched you. And some of us share that testimony. Don't let the trumpet sound without you being able to confidently say, "He touched me, he touched me. Oh, what joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me." Am I going too fast? Am I preaching? I don't want to preach. I want to discuss. I don't want to carry out an art of preaching this morning, you know? But it's time to preach, and then we start preaching. I want to talk to brothers and sisters. You can encourage me as I can encourage you. Lord, we drive away every spirit of formality in this place. Every spirit that at this moment wants this place to be church, regular things. Brethren, my name is Wale Adeniyi. I just want to speak as one believer to the other. We can encourage one another. This is Deborah, you better wake up. I know you're tired. You gave a powerful testimony of the deliverance of the Lord last week. Are you born again? Have you been to Jesus for that cleansing power? Are you washed the blood of the Lamb? I don't want Satan to rob our generation of that magic of meeting Jesus. Let us pray that Satan will not turn the real powerful experience of knowing Jesus as a very personal friend to a church affair. Are you walking daily by his power each day? The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the people who are really sons of God. It's not those who say, "Lord, Lord." I have a dread in my heart as I examine my life and I examine the life of faith in my generation. And it comes from that word where Christ said that there's a way that leads to perdition. And a lot of people are going to it, that the road is very broad and the gate is very wide. It's the easy way. And I just wonder, are we going the easy way in our Christian walk? Are we giving the Lord the bare minimum, a part of our heart, but not the whole? Jesus expects you and I to walk out here, not just to confirm whether someone has said the sinner's prayer or has a church that they've attended, but to confirm that God's Spirit is in them and they're walking in the joy of salvation. This is a message that I think needs to resonate more among us Christians, confirming one another. Because what's the use being on the path, but on the day when the trumpet will sound and the reward will be given out, and we discover that a lot of our friends or our family members, or our church members are not there because we had not paid attention to the things that Jesus said. If you say you are born again, does the world know that you are born again? What do your colleagues say? What do your parents say? What do your children say? What do your siblings say? will they say, are you the one saying you're born again? Is the world saying you're born again? If you are just, you are the one saying you're born again, only go to Jesus. And we've been touching on these all important points for a while, but I want to go to some, just confirm, because the Bible is filled with so many rich things, right? And I want to go into how we know that we're born again. Just some of the things that the Bible teaches us, the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's become a very subjective question. If I hear people say, only God knows those who are born again. No, I dare say that if you are born again, you will know it. You cannot experience Jesus and know you're a child and not know that you're a child of God. Because the Bible says the Spirit bears witness with who? With who? With our own spirit that we are sons of God. Even the world will bear witness. The Bible says they will behold your good works and give glory. Although they speak evil of you, they will behold your good works and give glory to who? Your Father who is in heaven. Although they hate you, they will know that there's something about this person. Peace. Let's go to the book of 1 John. And I choose 1 John because it's as if this elder John, having walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, having heard a lot of preaching, I think his purpose was really to answer this question. How do you know that you have the real thing? How do you know that? Because being born again used to be a crime. Now it used to be a crime. Then it became a fad. Now it's just nothing. Nobody even talks about it. I don't know how many people does anybody remember here that being born again was, in fact, there was a time that if you told your family you were born again, they were almost burst into tears. I remember a cousin, I wasn't saved. I felt so sorry for her when she said she was born again. She's in California now. She said she was born again. I remember we were all so sad. We thought she had gone crazy. Fulola, if you're hearing me, I don't know, because internet. Yes, you know it. That time in GRA, when you said you were born, the whole family was sad. She's gone crazy, like those students we see on the street, who are so sad. Then suddenly she changed. There's someone. You know Fulola? Remember when Fulola got born again? You remember a long time? I don't know whether you were still, you were kind of American. You just came, you weren't really into. But did you get the sense of what was happening, how sad everybody was? Maybe not. We were sad. I was sad for her. I thought she was doing pretty well. Imagine me. So it was a crime way back then. Then right around the time after I became born again, it became a fad. Everybody was born. In fact, they were wearing it on t-shirts. I found it, Motiri. It was a fad, right? Remember? Oh, you can't remember. You were young. There was an I found it movement. Remember that, Barashego? Remember? Yeah, yes, uncle, auntie, you remember? I found it, Motiri. Who? Who? Yeah, I found it. It was a big revival movement. It became, and it was still true then, really. A lot of people came to Christ. It was a crime, became a fad. When was the last time publicly that you had anybody ask, are you born again? Last Thursday, someone asked you. Before then, how long ago? Maybe Jehovah's Witness. They don't even ask if you are Jehovah's Witness. They will never ask if you are born again, though. And now, but they were not asking, are you born again? Right. But that Tuesday, the 2 weeks on, they actually asked, are you sure? Are you born again? They use the word born again. Okay, that's good. Because you see, we used to go on street evangelism here in this church, and we had done it for decades. And I remember, Barakule, I don't know if you were there. The only other time we actually saw someone, not just in this neighborhood, Yes, that was the only other time that we saw another person doing evangelism in Greenbelt Metro. But there used to be a time that you could not come out of your house. In fact, I used to dodge them. You knew when they were coming. You knew the way they dressed. They always walked in pairs. And I would dodge them. I will have my cigarette. When I see them, I'll stop it. Because there was something about them. It's as if they looked for people with cigarettes. They look for people dressed somehow. And they will just come beeline to you. Hello. And they'll call you brother, although you're not a brother. Hello, brother. And you want to be polite. My friends can go away, but somehow I couldn't go. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Romans 6, I knew those memory verses before I knew Christ. And when they don't get a response, they'll say the wages of sin is there, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And I mean, yes, the heart was still sensitive to the word of God. And now I'll go, wow, wages of sin, wow, I will die. And if they saw that that wasn't working, they'll go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. They will look at you and say, of course, you looked worldly. So they knew the verse to apply. Love not the word or the things of this world. If anyone loves the word, then the word of God is not in him. One of those verses we took your heart. It was relentless. But now we don't hear. There's nobody to challenge us. But God wants us to challenge one another. To tell the world that Jesus came to save sinners. The Bible says that this is good teaching, worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus came to die for sinners, of whom I am chief. The Lord did not say to go to mankind and ask them, are you okay? Have you had breakfast? How are you doing in your classes? Not once did Jesus encourage about these things. Because he has put a provision for all of those things. He has given us one another to care for our bodily goods if we do right by ourselves. He laid us in families. He gave us parents. And even if you miss that, he will send miracles your way to take care of all this. But there's something that no man can take care of. That's the state of your soul. That can only be dealt with on the cross of Calvary. Are you born again? How do you know you're born again? Someone should open to 1 John chapter 1. And please read from verse 5 to 7. The elder John, I commend to you the book of 1 John, brothers and sisters. If you are looking for where to read in the Bible, please, it's, I think, 5 chapters. It's not a lot. Please read what John has to say. Who will volunteer to read?
First John chapter 1, verse 6.
5 to 7.
Okay. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin.
Tomitan, can you break that verse down for us? Break it down. In normal, not in, don't break it down in King James. Don't break it down in ESV. In normal, day-to-day, Howard County student, no frills language. What is God saying here? Howard University. Sorry. In English, let's break it down for me. What is God saying in simple sentences there?
If we don't do what God does, if we don't behave how he behaves, then we are not of him.
Any contrary breakdown here of that verse? Any exposition? Thank you. Any, please, Deborah.
If we claim to truly be born again, yet act like we haven't, we lie, we steal, we don't care about our neighbors, we're lying and deceiving ourselves.
I like that. I actually like the word liar there. That's a strong word to use. It's not a saintly word. It's strong language. And this kind of verse guides my Christian walk. It helps me to know whether what I have is theory or for real. It says if we walk in darkness, if we don't walk as the Father walks, and we go about claiming that we're Christians and we're born again, said, we are lying. What's the implication of this? Titi, do you want me to pick on you? Just say no, if you don't want me to pick on you. Okay, so pick on one of your sisters. There you go. What's the implication of this verse? What do you think? When you read this verse as a believer, what does it tell you?
I believe that this verse, I think it's a warning for us so that we can reflect on our actions and that we can be mindful that God is light, that's who we're supposed to be following, and then also warns us to not be deceptive about ourselves and lie about our actions.
The sermon is preached. Isn't that the third week that this thing is tripping me? That's the third week, right? Huh? Thank you. Someone has something to say? It is not enough to say that I'm a Christian. We must be sure that we're walking the way God wants us to walk in the light. We are not clubbing. We are not hating. We are motivated by copying God every day. We are not just living. We are living for the glory of God. We are walking in the light as God is in the light. Those who hate God are actively hating us. Those who love God are actively loving us. That is one sign of being born again. For many decades now, Satan has deceived the church. I speak to you in the spirit of the Lord. Satan could not stop the gospel from going all over the world, so he decided to corrupt it. He could not stop the truth from being preached, so he decided to pollute it. Because the result is the same. He made being a Christian a fad. He made the church a place rather than a people. He made preaching an event rather than a relational discourse, an active lifestyle. He made Jesus a symbol rather than the Lord. This is the doing of Satan, brethren. Do you not see it? He wants us as Christians to be no different than Gentiles. There's a verse that says that though some people speak of salvation, they deny the power of that salvation. I think we studied it on Wednesday. So it's making sure that our Christian walk, our Bible study is without what? Power and result. And John is saying here that we should have this brief point that those who are in the light must also walk as God is in the light, not in darkness. That if you walk in darkness and you say you're in the light, it doesn't matter how interesting the church service is. It doesn't matter how fast you speak in tongues. It does not matter how gifted and anointed you are. You could have built 10,000 churches and started many ministries. If you do not walk in the light, you cannot say you are born again. Unless, of course, John is lying here. And I think we all agree he's not lying. That's number one sign. Another one is obeying the commandments of God. Someone should please go to 1 John, just the chapter after, chapter 2 from verse 3 to 6. 1 John. He that is born again must live in the light. You must be different from your colleagues. You must be different. You cannot just say you're born again. Your life must show it. You must be different. That's what John is saying. Sin is a lie if you are not walking in the light. You can't be a Christian and be clubbing. You can't be a Christian and be backsliding, slandering people. Satan has tried to disconnect our salvation from our behavior. John is reconnecting it.
First John chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked.
Again. See what the apostle is saying there again. And he uses the word is a liar there. He who says I know him and does not what? Is what? Is a liar. Again, these are strong words. These are words of warning. Someone said warning. Was it? Yeah. These are words of warning. It says we must examine our confessions as Christians. And if you see any of these traits in your Christian walk, the cross of Jesus is there. Today is the day of salvation. Go to the Lord. Make sure you have the real thing. There's nothing. Satan is no longer keeping people from believing. He wants you to believe in the ineffectual faith. Did anybody ever read C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters? C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. Yeah, it's a complex read. But he reveals the secret of demons. It came to a time, this is fiction, right? Not real. It came to a time, but if you read the scripture, you see that it's very in line with the deception of Satan. That Satan said, listen, we can't keep people from going to church. We can't keep people from praying. But here's what I want you to do. No, actually, it was the young demon that came to the big demon and said, to his supervisor, he said, oh, listen, I've been all over the world. I think we're losing the battle. Churches are being built all over the world. Pastors are rising up. You know, there are people, students who never used to pay attention to scripture. They're not paying attention to. And the old demon just laughed. I said, so just relax. You'll be calming down. I know what I'm doing. He said, listen, please don't keep them from going to church. Don't keep them from reading the Bible. Don't keep them from praying. Just make sure that then when they go to church, when they read the Bible, when they pray, the focus is on them, not on Jesus. He said it's even more powerful than keeping them from going. What has happened? It's so much easier. It used to be that you went to church and you couldn't go on without thinking. Now it's a celebration. Is the choir good? As long as the music is good, the message speaks to our situation, not to our soul, not to our sin, but to our situation, we're okay. It's the plan of Satan. In those days, when you went to listen to Jesus, your heart broke within you. Because it's telling you of things of heaven. But today, our ministers are talking about things of earth. Matthew chapter 16. The Lord was talking about things of heaven. his closest disciple, Peter, was talking about welfare, was talking, oh, no, you will not suffer. Me, I no go suffer, you no go beg for bread. God of miracle, na your papa, oh, God of miracle, na your. And it's really a lie. It's these ministers that are well fed, their congregation is not. Peter tried it with the Lord Jesus, and Jesus said, get away from me, you Satan. Because you love the things of this world, not the things of God. So this warning is saying, listen, anyone who says, I know Jesus, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, is not about keeping the commandment of Jesus Christ, he says it's a what? That person is a what? Do we want the real thing? Please, let's pay attention to the word of God. A lot of people are following the easy way. A lot of people are following the easy way that speaks to just needs and temporal things. But if you want to follow the real way so that your thousands of hours in church will not be wasted, pay attention to his commandment. Jesus told us that this is not easy. Oh no, we have to close the service. Because I want to close it before. I've noticed that long sermons drain people. And to be frank, we don't have a day of rest in America. Sunday is another day where you have to listen to these long, boring sermons, right? So I'll keep them short. Okay, we're going to stop only on this point and say the grace. We'll continue next week. 2 points. You cannot walk anyhow, brethren. A light has to shine in the world, right? Jesus is counting on you for more than this. You have to think seriously as you go this week and say, I am in the church, but I want to separate myself. It's time to step it up. I want to be David in the wilderness with my Savior. I want to hear. They've always been telling me about God. I want to hear you myself, my blessed Redeemer. I want to lay hold on eternal life. Very few people, a lot of people come to church. A lot of people read the Bible. There are different seminars for you. There are different books for you to buy. Satan will keep us busy until the trumpet sounds, as long as we don't touch on the real thing. One of the real things is being the light as God in the light. If there's any darkness in you, if you had gone on, you'd have seen where the Lord says he will forgive. That if you say you have no sin, that's the next one, by the way. That if you say you have no sin, you lie and the truth is not in you. They are not teaching us any longer to repent of our sins, to feel sorry when we are late to church, to feel sorry when we ignore the things of God's glory. They don't teach us things like that anymore. We now say we have no sin. But it says, if you say you have no sin, then the truth is not in you. God loves sinners. And those who will confess their sins, he will forgive. But what if we are never taught to confess our sins? In those days, when you drop the Bible on the floor, you pick it up and say, Lord, forgive me because I allowed you. We are like children. And did Jesus not say, you must convert and become like little children now? We have all this theology to excuse us. There's the theology of grace. But 3 things this morning. If you have any darkness in you, you cannot say, because God is light. So pray that, Lord, remove all the darkness in me. If your passion is not to seek out and obey the commandment of God for your life, then you cannot truly say that this born-again thing, I'm living in it. So pray. If your passion, your biggest passion this week is business, is self-preservation, if your biggest passion this week are the things of this world, then pray that, Lord, let me be like Timothy, let me be like Titus, let me be like those who want your kingdom to come. Let me not be an outsider Let me not be part of the multitude. Let us pray. Father, as we go forth this morning, Lord, please, by your Spirit, remind us of your word, O Lord. The days are short, the time is coming, and your judgment, Lord, is coming. Your judgment is a day of vindication for those who today listen, those who take full advantage of your grace, those who, Lord, are blessed with your Spirit. Those who are tried and tested, are they found to be without blemish. Give us this mindset, Lord, to prove our ministries, that our lives may count for deep things. Everybody under the influence of preaching this morning, I pray, sweet Spirit, that you complete the message in the heart. I pray, God, that they will possess these words in a personal way, not in a corporate way. But because you've said, Lord, that your message will be preached to whosoever, that means we must make our decisions one at a time, individually. Give your people and myself, Father, the grace to make the right decision. Help us not to be distracted by our jobs, by our life in America, by the economy, by the politics of America. Pray that the things of your kingdom will loom larger in Jesus' name. Give us the grace to walk with Jesus, to listen to him, to believe in him. I pray, Lord, that though we are Christians, our life may even be further transformed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.